Hello, everyone. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is with Joe McAdam. We talk a lot about food because we both like food. That's so dumb. Everyone likes food. Maybe not everyone likes food. We like food, so we talk about food and comedy and all that good stuff. I like this one. It's a nice little short one. Before we get to it, just to let everyone know, we are doing another marathon show this year. We did a 10-hour marathon show in 2018 because that was our 10-year anniversary, and because it's 2019, it's our 11-year anniversary, so we'll be doing a few marathon shows this year. The first one is on Saturday, February 9th at the Wonderland Ballroom. We just announced that. That's on the website youmeetthemeverybody.com and Facebook and Eventbrite and Twitter and Instagram and all that great stuff. So February 9th, You Meet Them Everybody Live, 11-hour marathon at the Wonderland Ballroom. Come to that. Without further ado, here's Joe McAdam and I chatting about 7-Eleven's famous spaghetti bar. When did you realize you actually care about food?
I care about how good the food is that I'm eating, the quality of my food.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I worked at a restaurant when I was in college in the kitchen. That was once I learned how to cook food, I was like, oh, this is exciting, this is fun. I started to give a little bit of a shit after that point. It was a Swiss restaurant, which is not like the
whoa,
most.
Whoa, stop! Hold on. Is there a large Swiss population in Kansas City?
No, I don't think so. It feels like a. I don't know what it was, just a family-owned Swiss place, and they had a couple locations, and they're mostly known for, they make chocolate, and so they had a big storefront where they sold chocolate, and then they kind of expanded to be let's just do food, and then they had lunch, and so I would make, Swiss lunch.
What is a Swiss? I don't even know where to start. What is a Swiss lunch?
Their big deal was they would sell a quiche a lot. That would be a big thing for them. And then, but it's a lot of German and French kind of combined and, that kind of food. So, a lot of sausages and bratwurst and potatoes and, dumpling noodly things and a lot of cream and a lot of cheese and stuff like that.
So food that keep hearty food for the cold weather.
Precisely. Good for, if you're going, whatever. I don't know. I don't even know really what Swiss people do for leisure. Skiing is
a
big one. They ski. Yeah. So good ski food.
So what now, I'm probably thinking of American Swiss food, which is probably not as much fish as actual Swiss food. Was there a lot of fish at this restaurant?
I was getting not a ton of fish.
You are in the middle of the country, the middle of the country. It's pretty landlocked where you were.
Yeah.
So
that
makes sense.
There's not great fish in Kansas City.
Okay. That's news. Okay. So this is an interesting high school job.
It was great. I did
was this college or high school?
This is college. I think I was maybe 21, 22, something like that.
Okay.
And so it was my wife. Her lifelong friend from grade school, her parents owned this place. So they hooked me up with a job and I would work behind the counter. I waited tables. I worked in the kitchen and I did food deliveries. It was just kind of a family business. And I did all the, utility player, but I spent most of my time doing kitchen stuff. So I learned about, how to cook and all that there. And then, that's really the only kitchen job I've ever had. I did it for maybe 2 years and then I kind of just pulled enough from that, and then I figured everything else out food wise or cooking wise from YouTube. There's a lot of great YouTube.
So you're probably the only the first comic I knew that actually cared about food.
There's it's the thing is most comics, especially coming up, everybody's broke, so food is just I gotta some spaghetti at 7-Eleven, whatever. Did they sell spaghetti bar?
Wait.
Spaghetti bar at 7-Eleven. It's my favorite restaurant, 7-Eleven.
You're literally, you're making up the analogy. And you choose spaghetti and 7-Eleven.
I thought I would just get a head of steam, and it really, there's no such thing as a spaghetti bar at 7-Eleven. it's not a restaurant, and I don't think you can. They don't even allow you to bring spaghetti in. They have a sign on the door.
Why did you choose that?
Yeah, there's really no way to know.
All right,
there'd be no way to know.
You work in your college town. You work at the Swiss restaurant, and then you decide that's enough of the cooking and working in restaurants. I'm never going to work in a restaurant again. These are filthy people doing disgusting things.
Yes, yeah, precisely.
Why not work in restaurants now?
I think it's the hours, because you know a lot of restaurants you just have to do a dinner shift, and then it's just like, well, I can't go out at night to do shows anymore if I do that. So,
do you think you'd be happier if you chose the culinary arts versus whatever the thing is that you do arts?
Yes.
Okay.
instead of doing comedy, if I had chosen to be go down the path of being a chef,
yes,
I'd be happier probably.
Then what? Yeah. You're not that old.
No, not. I mean, I could still do it, and I still talk about it with my wife all the time. What if I just stopped and I, you know, did something else and I worked with food? That's what makes me happy. But you know, there is the thing of like, you think that that's going to make you happy. Like I thought that doing comedy would make me happy, and it has very much so. But then it turns into the work part. You know what I mean? And then it's like now it's my job, and it's all the joy of it is sucked out. And I'd still be able to enjoy food if I worked in a restaurant, you know, again, but it would be less fun for sure. It'd be a lot less fun.
Okay. When you think about becoming a chef, do you think of like running your own restaurant or running your own kitchen or both?
Ideally, like, okay. Cause I have played this, I'm leaving LA, I'm quitting comedy scenario in my head. That like, you have to. But like, I think it would be, maybe like in the background right now, I start like this background plan to get like a really good like barbecue recipe going.
Okay.
Like maybe like right now, figure out like lock down a really, really good like a good like spice combo for some smoked ribs kind of deal. Figure that out, and then like, all right, sample it around, get people to try it out, and then I feel like that's the kind of thing you could just truly roll up in a parking lot somewhere and start a business that way. And then if it were to get bigger, cool. But like, I don't have enough money to open a restaurant. You know what I mean?
So this sounds exactly like the story of a lot of these DC barbecue restaurants. I spent a day with the people that do Sloppy Mama's Barbecue. So we did like 24 hours together, something like that. And the gentleman started the business because his sister or sister-in-law asked him to cater her company's like work party or whatever, because he would always have like either like a Sunday tailgate or like a monthly giant barbecue thing or in his backyard where he'd either like dig a pit or rent a spit, something to that effect, right? And everyone loved the barbecue so much, so it went really well, and he started catering stuff, events. And he's like, well, if I got to cater all these events, I got to get around all these events, I might as well get a truck. So then the catering turned into a food truck and catering business, and then now they're a food truck, catering business, and then they have a location within a bar. So they use a bar's kitchen, but it's still like their restaurant, but they don't have to worry about like leases and paying taxes on the location and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
That is extremely my speed. That is exactly what would sound like a great idea to me. I love that idea.
Now, do you think you'd be happy with those hours? Because barbecue, you want to do barbecue.
Yeah, that sounds like the most, I love it. I love eating barbecue, and it's satisfying in a way where it's like, a lot of it is just hanging out. There is it takes a long time to just cook barbecue. So like,
you're absolutely
part of
right.
It is just, it's just hanging out.
The issue with barbecue is it's one of the most intensive preparation foods. Like you'd literally have to be up all night smoking this thing if you're doing it quote unquote the right way.
Correct. Yeah. It takes a very long time.
Do you think you'd be happy waking up every day at like 6 a.m. just to like put charcoal or wood in a spit to make sure your meat is smoking?
If I didn't have the concerns of, like, if I had fully detached myself from doing comedy and I also didn't have to have a day job outside of that, I would be totally cool.
See, what's interesting to that, to me, is I think having that task to do would make my comedy or make my whatever else better, because if you have to be up at 6 a.m., if you have to be up at 10 a.m., if you have to keep feeding this literal fire, you're going to have to sooner or later go back to sleep, and it's not that easy always to go back to sleep. And that's when you could spend, you could use your brain to do things that bring you different types of joy while you're doing a different thing that brings you joy. Does that make sense?
Sure. It would kind of just be a flip-flop of what my priorities are right now.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like my priority is writing and performing, and when I can, I can cook what I want.
I have been getting into smoking things on a grill recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we did a smoked turkey breast the other month or whatever. Stuff like that. Stuff that takes, like, 4 to 8 hours. And I'm finding immense joy in it. But the idea of charging for it is what scares the hell out of me.
Sure. I think I have gotten over that idea.
How long did that take you?
I think about that in terms of comedy right now. And it took me, I don't know, I've been doing it for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. So maybe a year or two ago, I started to feel a little more okay about it.
About charging for comedy.
Yeah, about the idea of not just giving everything away for free because, I don't know. There's a million reasons, I guess. I just feel like I'd always felt like, I want people to have access to what I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want there to be like a paywall into what my comedy is. It feels, I don't want it to be like, oh, this is the exclusive comedy. You have to like buy shit. I don't know. I want everything to be as accessible as possible as far as what I'm making.
Okay.
But I think it is totally fine if you really look at it in the direct terms of like, if I don't charge somebody for this, I'm never going to be able to survive.
That makes sense.
So, you know, if it turns into something that you have to do for a living, then, you know, you have to charge. That's just the way it works.
I'm over it.
I'm over that part now.
Is there any comedy that you will happily watch at home? That's new.
I just tore through all of Detroiters. I loved it.
Okay, so that's good. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
What is the food equivalent of Detroiters for you?
You mean like what do I like that's not made by me, like that I enjoy at home?
Yeah, to watch.
Oh,
that
man.
Relates to food.
Like watching food TV or eating food?
Let's do both.
As far as eating food goes, like there's a million places in LA that I like, but my go-to every time I just get takeout, there's an Indian place called Anar that's near me. That's like, all right, this is the best. But as far as like watching, mm-hmm. I'll watch like any food show, at least a little bit, you know, like I watched all of, Ugly Delicious or mm-hmm. Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. And most of Chef's Table, some of those Chef's Tables I thought were kind of insufferable. But
so can we focus on Chef's Table for a second?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the first season. If it's not the first season, it's the second season. It's that French chef that's like a recluse that cooks by fire in like a pit, like a pit. That dude?
Yeah.
That dude to me represents every single thing wrong with celebrity chefdom.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like some of those episodes, I'm just like, oh, please, what is this?
But
like there's
most of the other episodes of that show are great, and I like all of the chefs, and it makes me want to eat their stuff even more. Like for example, my wife and I are going to Philadelphia next month, and one of the places we're going is like specifically to the place that the Chef's Table went, and that's like a hole in the wall place that doesn't take reservations. It's like $2 for a taco. It's not super expensive stuff, and her story is amazing, and the food looks great, and I want to try it, and I really like the super fancy stuff, like the one with the Alinea episode. That's an amazing episode. But this dude, this old dude, he's like, oh, I can't have a relationship because I gotta keep cooking like a fucking asshole. Like, why don't you just fucking take care of your kids? What's wrong with you? Anyways,
well, yeah, there's a level of like sociopathy that can go into any like creative obsession thing, you know what I mean? Like it's chefs have turned into like this, I don't know, like this whole other, like this whole, like subsection of artists that it's just like, yep, and we're tortured too, us chefs. Like, I don't know. This, like, fuck off, guys.
The difference, though, between a chef and a comic is, yes, in theory, comedy is going to make you feel good and is going to make you happier or feel less alone, right? or a chef's point is to literally nourish you. So why would you, like, you're supposed to be the opposite of an asshole when you're supposed to be feeding people. And I think most are, but this dude and all the bad people, they seem to think that, like, this is their lane to be Mick Jagger. There's one Mick Jagger, you know what I mean? Like, even Keith Richards isn't Mick Jagger.
Yeah, there's just the one. And it's, yeah, no, I don't understand that, the idea of, like, turning chefs into celebrities and shit these days. But, I mean, I don't mind the outcome, which is that there's a lot of TV shows that I like.
That's
but
true.
I do think that the ego thing that goes into it is just like, I just get so like, oh, please about it. Like, forget it. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I watch all that stuff. And after watching, you know, like, Ugly Delicious, I've gone to, like, so many cool Korean spots in LA that are, like, now my new favorite spots. Like, they're great.
Did you watch the Jonathan Gold documentary?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, man. Please watch that and tell me if it doesn't make you very happy to live in Los Angeles.
I'm sure it will, like, make me so happy. Yeah, I don't even know. I'm not sure where I can see it. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but I want to watch it really bad.
It was on Netflix when I watched it. And, yeah, it's maybe the most delightful love letter to, like, street food. And I say that with no, like, street food to me is a great thing. There's no shame in that. And it just means you don't necessarily have a roof over your food that doesn't make it better or worse.
Yeah, I would love to see him just, you know, really, really enjoying and praising some good street food. That sounds fantastic.
In your ideal world, in my ideal world, I think about this way too often. I want a room that seats 40 to 80, no more than 80, no less than 30. I want, for the people that know me, I want the Hungry Brain meets Pete's Candy Store in Brooklyn. I want that exact situation, and I would have food available for people. And in an ideal world, it would be like a different chef every single night or every single week or whatever. A rotating thing to, like, shine a light on new people. Not necessarily young, but new people. And we would just have shows that are respected, but people would use it as a neighborhood bar first and foremost. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea.
That's my ideal world. And I would love, love, love. Like, your comedy would fit perfectly. My show would fit perfectly. Clearly, my ideal world. Here's my one issue with it. I can't figure out how to make any money on it.
Well, yeah, you can't. Those are different worlds. You know, you have to find the stupid thing to make money off of, and then you put that money into that thing. You have to do the thing that you don't love to do the money.
But I feel somewhat,
I don't know. There's, like, no way to make money off of a good thing. It seems so rare. It's the rarest.
I just want to do the thing I love to, and I do the thing I love to do. That's not the issue. The issue is, how does that thing make the money where I don't have to do anything else? And I don't not like the things I'm doing for money. That's not the case. It's just, I can't figure that one little piece out. And like you said, I don't know if it's even a possible thing to do. I don't care who you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like, okay, so I watched, there was a very good documentary about Leif Anhelm from the band. It was, you know, maybe probably 10 years old at this point. But every month he has this, like, farm in, like, Woodstock, New York, and they just have, like, a big party. Every month all his friends come over, they all jam, they, you know, they drink and they eat. And it's like, that's exactly what I want. How cool would that be? That's the coolest thing in the world. I'm sure it costs, like, a fortune to do it every single time. But he was very wealthy because he made a lot of money from, you know, the band.
Which also,
so it's like, you,
that's not a bad gig.
I don't know. You can, yeah, no, that's the day job. That's like, okay, fine. yeah, that's cool, dude. But, like, that's exactly the kind of thing that I want, where it's like, oh, you come to this place, you're there's, like, a good amount of food, a creative amount of, like, art going on, there's music, you can have whatever you want going on, whatever the specific entertainment that you like, you can, you know, mold it to whatever you like. But yeah, just like a gathering, just to entertain. That's what I want. That would be the coolest. If I could make food for a group of people and then have some kind of creative outlet at the same place, like, how cool would that be?
It's not impossible, that's the thing. And especially with barbecue, like, we could buy you a spit for, like, under $500.
Yeah, it's not super expensive to get started with that. I can't even, like, I can't have a grill in my apartment, though, you know?
Yeah, that's the...
I need to move before I can even do anything.
Yeah, well...
So, you know...
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good luck with that. I don't know. So I'm like looking for places to move just so I can buy like a barrel smoker, you know, like that I can throw a little pig on there or something.
How long would it take to commute to a place to where you usually perform at in Los Angeles where you could afford to like own a piece of property and have that type of food situation? Is it like an hour away? Is it 2 hours away? Is it like a flight away?
I mean, if you really mean where I could own a place,
you could own a place with
affordable.
Hold on, you could own a place with what you're paying rent now.
That would require like me to probably be at least an hour and a half away from where I am.
Is it worth it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I'd miss out on so much. I wouldn't see anybody anymore. I wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would ever come visit me.
Do you have lots of visitors
drive,
right now?
No one would visit me. People come over. I have people come over.
It's nice.
Yeah. There's things. We'll have dinner over here or something. People visit.
It's important to have friendship.
You know what? I never thought of it that way. It is. You're absolutely right.
Why did that make me laugh so hard? Oh, it did, though. This is let's end with an honest recommendation from Joe McAdam, someone that worked in a Swiss restaurant that is a comic that could do a lot with a little amount of money when it comes to food. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in an next time you're in an open mic, which I hope is never. Next time you're in an open mic, and inevitably the young people complain about their poor diets. I want you to recommend a recipe. What is that recipe going to be? What is that thing that will prevent them to go to the 7-Eleven spaghetti bar? What is the thing that they can make at home for very cheap that doesn't suck?
Okay, this might not be the healthiest, but this is like. I do this all the time, and it's great, and it'll last like a few days. I make my own beef jerky. It's super easy to do.
Whoa, and seriously?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay.
So I just get like some like sirloin breakfast steaks. They're like, you know, you get a little pack of them at the grocery store. It's like $4 or $5. And then, just flatten them out. Marinate them for like 4 hours.
Hold on, stop.
Leave them in the oven all
day.
Stop.
When you say flatten them out, you mean like with a hammer?
Yeah, just like, you know, squish them with a hammer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how do you marinate them?
I do like a cup of soy sauce, a cup of Worcestershire sauce, and then whatever you like for spice. I usually go with, you know, like that sriracha chili paste with like the flakes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then something to make it sweet. Usually honey, but sometimes fruit juice.
Okay.
And then marinate them for like 4 hours and then throw it in the oven on a rack on like almost zero temperature, like maybe 150 degrees or something. And you just leave them there all day.
How long is all day?
8 hours, maybe.
Is it possible to overcook them?
Yeah, I just did a batch like 2 days ago, and I maybe left them in a little too long.
Do you remember how long you left that batch in?
I don't know. It's like, it really is like whatever. It depends on your oven. I check them all the time. You can open the door. It's fine. And it's just like when it looks like beef jerky, then it's good, you know?
That sounds awesome and easy and cheaper than buying beef jerky.
Oh, yeah. It's a million times cheaper. And I work from home, so it's just like I'm sitting by the oven all day anyway. I might as well do something with it. So, yeah, make your own beef jerky, line your pockets with it, and take it on the go. You're good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Line your pockets with beef jerky, so then when you go to the 7-Eleven spaghetti bar, you could sprinkle your jerky on to the delicious 7-Eleven spaghetti.
It's a little accent you can sprinkle over. Just sprinkle jerky on your 7-Eleven spaghetti. It's great.